What's up, guys? Welcome back to another Drop a Deuce podcast. My name is Daniel Keenis. I am here with my goddamn co-host, Franklin Todd. Frank, how are you doing?
It's Frankfurt Todd to you, first of all. And second of all, Daniel, I'm doing fine. I'm happy to be done with my move because for those of you who don't know, moving is a pain in the ass.
It's not the best. I mean, I just got done with it and we were in the same apartment complex for about a week. So you had to move like twice, which is awful.
Yeah, but my move was also a lot farther than yours. Yours was across our college town. Mine was halfway across the country.
Hey, mine was from like an hour away. Mine was from like Carmel.
Hey, we don't disclose our locations here, but I thought you still lived in our college town.
I mean, yeah, I'm in Bloomington. I mean, okay, we can. Okay. We talk about how we're in IU all the time.
Well, I forgot about that. Well, yeah, but I thought you just moved from one Bloomington place to the other.
Well, yeah, I was in my house, and then I had like a week, 2 week break between like the moves because I couldn't move into my place right away. So I literally just went back to my mom's house for a little bit and then came back here. So it was pretty wild.
Interesting. I didn't know that. All right. So we'll jump right. We want to start off with the French Open.
The what?
We want to start off with the French Open or the real big news of the week?
Let's start out with the real big news of the week.
Now, for those of you who've been living under a rock, the big news we're referring to is Coach K retired or announced this is his final season and he's doing his farewell tour.
Now, that was so weird.
Now, what the big J's in journalism don't want you to know is that none of them actually broke this story, and they won't tell you who really broke the story because it was two podcasters like 2 months ago.
Wait, did we actually?
No, not us. It was Mark Titus and Tate Frazier on the Titus and Tate podcast who announced it 2 months ago, and no one believed them. Everyone thought Tate was joking, and now no one will give him credit for it.
Wait, what'd he say?
He said he a couple months ago on his podcast, he said, I have a source with it. I have a source who told me Coach K will be announcing his retirement soon. He will be going on a farewell tour, and then he's done.
Dang. Okay, sheesh.
No one believed them, and they broke. I mean, Titus and Tate's still a pretty big podcast.
Also, Titus is an IU guy.
He's an IU fan. He's not an IU. He's not any real association with it, except for being from Indiana. He fucking played basketball at Ohio State.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah, he did go to Ohio State.
Played might be a loose word. He rode the bench for 4 years, but he was on the team.
He was on the team. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, he's from Brownsburg, and he played basketball at Ohio State.
He averaged 5-3-0-1 points per game.
He averaged
never mind. He had a career totaled 9 points.
He averaged 1.5 minutes per game. But hey, we're not slandering Mark Titus here. I love Mark Titus.
He's a cool guy. Yeah, absolutely. No,
we're not slandering Mark Titus here, but I just had to give him credit here because they broke it, and now this is changing the landscape of college basketball because if you think about it, we just lost Roy Williams. We're going to lose Coach K. I mean, does that affect the Duke UNC's rivalry allure at all? Like, who wants to watch that on ESPN now for these two new idiots who are coaching? Like, half the fun of that was Coach K versus Roy.
I mean, I guess I think it'll take a little bit of a downturn, but those are still the two biggest brands in college basketball. I think that'll be fine.
But we're too big. I'm talking more from the casual viewership for the ESPN national broadcast. We're obviously sports fans because we do a sports podcast. But the average fan is not going to care about that rivalry as much anymore now that those two guys aren't there anymore.
I mean, I think we didn't watch Zion because of Coach K. We watched Zion play for Duke because it was goddamn Zion.
Yes, but there's been a lot of – but you don't watch the other teams. Like, last year's Duke team sucked. You weren't watching that for anyone particular on Duke. You're watching because it's Coach K, and he's a goddamn mastermind.
I watch it because it's Duke the brand. I think – I don't watch it I don't normally think of the coaches.
But
I mean,
Duke the
like,
brand isn't Duke the brand without Coach K. You got to remember, that program was nothing before Coach K got there.
Well, we can talk about college basketball brands. Like,
well, we're talking about
still, Iowa still continued their brand once Bobby Knight left. Like, their brand is bigger than ever.
Yes, but the brand grew without Bobby Knight, but Bobby Knight helped start the brand. Coach K started the brand.
Yeah, so we still watch IU basketball because it's IU basketball.
He got a
We're gonna do the
whatever.
same thing with Duke,
He
and we're gonna
got
do the
a
same thing with North
job
Carolina.
not doing anything too spectacular at Army. But here's his re this were his records at Army. 11-14, 28-19-9, two great seasons, 14-11, 9-17. And then he got the Duke job, which at the time, Duke isn't really a historic program or anything of value. And he turned it around. He made it what it was over the last 40 since 1980.
Jesus.
Like, Duke isn't, I don't think Duke is Duke without Coach K.
I mean, well, I guess we can't make this until like next year in 2 years because maybe he built something sustainable.
Well, yeah, Coach K's allure is still going to be there.
Coach K's never gonna leave the program. He's gonna retire. He's retiring from basketball. He's not dead.
Well, yeah, he's still going to be there, but the program definitely doesn't have as much of allure, and it wouldn't be the same without Coach K. There's no arguing that this
But that
program isn't
no,
the
we're
same without Coach K.
you are assuming that because Coach K is not the official coach of like okay, when Kobe Bryant retired, the Lakers are
No,
still the
no, no. You're not
Lakers.
understanding my point. I'm saying is the Duke UNC loses its allure, but the Duke basketball brand got built because of Coach K. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but we're still going to keep watching afterwards.
Yes, I know, but I'm saying it's not as alluring anymore. The Duke UNC rivalry put in a lot of casual viewers because of the big name coaches, and right now, it's not going to be as alluring with whoever they do. I don't even know who the new coach is, but it's
I
some
actually
idiot.
that's a take that I disagree with, that we're watching because of the coaches. Because the coaches have very little impact on it. I mean on the game itself. They have impact on the brands, but that doesn't necessarily mean that.
ESPN shows more of Coach K than the actual players. Like, the camera's 99% of the time on Coach K.
I mean, same thing with most coaches. I mean, the camera was on Archie the entire
You gotta
time.
remember that your thing is too much as a big sports fan, not the casual. The casual sports fan who was watching ESPN to watch a basketball game. That's what I'm thinking it as right now. Not as I'm still gonna watch Duke because I am a fan of college basketball. I'm talking about like Joe Schmo, who's just flipping through channels on a Tuesday.
Yeah, but I think it's the big basketball fans that are watching because of the coach and the casual ones watching because of the brand.
I think it's the other way around. I think it's the ones who just know the name because of the coaches watching it. And then people like you and I are watching because of the brand and the players.
I think that's opposite. I think you have that reversed.
Oh, no, I don't think. I think you have it reversed. I think that if you look at it, most casual fans will know who Coach K is. Most casual fans will know who Zion Williamson is, but most casual coaches wouldn't know who we know on those rosters.
I mean, yeah, so we could be watching for the players, but again, so casual people will go watch Alabama football versus Georgia football, and that's not because the players or because of Nick Saban, it's because of the big brand. So
Football,
the
foot no, football's a different animal with Alabama because let's be real here. Most if you're talking about the casual fans need to be broken up into too many categories with football because if you're talking about a casual NFL fan, there are a lot of casual NFL fans who are just going to see who's their next quarterback, who's their next wide receiver with Alabama. That's different.
I mean, yeah, but it's the same thing with college basketball. Like you can watch the big brands. You don't watch Kansas because of Bill Self. You watch Kansas because it's goddamn Kansas.
People watch Kansas?
Maybe. I don't know.
I
Or
don't know.
like you watch UCLA basketball because it's UCLA basketball,
No
not because
one coming from California, no one watches UCLA basketball anymore. No one, they are the one exam, they're the one exception to your rule where they've been so bad for so long since John Wooden, no one gives a shit about them anymore.
Or what about like Michigan State? Like Michigan State, you watch because it's Michigan State, or Michigan, or like we watch so much Michigan basketball because it's Michigan, not because of Juwan Howard. Like Juwan Howard, I sometimes forget he's the coach, but I'm still watching Michigan basketball.
I forget John Howard's coaching them at least once a week, but I only watch Michigan because they're in the Big Ten. Otherwise, I could not care less about Michigan. They're a football school,
Yeah,
not a
like
basketball school.
I don't think we. I've
The
never
problem
watched a
is,
game because of a coach.
the best example for this is Indiana, and we watch Indiana because we're IU students, we're IU fans. That's the best example of it. these
Former Iowa school.
programs. That's true. Michigan State still has Tom Izzo. So they still have the coach who's built a lot of their program. The ones we're going to see will happen is with the UNC this year, it's either national viewership because they're still their diehard fans, but their ESPN viewership is going to be the real telltale signs to see what happens this year, see who's right in this discussion.
Okay, so if because Duke and UNC carry a lot of weight on ESPN, who is the next brand to like come up and take control of the ESPN like primetime Friday, Saturday, Sunday night brackets?
A lot of it's going to depend on who what happens with these new coaches coming in and out. I mean, with the way programs are building, your next biggest rivalry has got to be a big Power Five school. It's probably going to be Michigan and someone. Maybe they'll build up some random thing like Michigan and Illinois, because those are two powerhouses in the Big Ten right now. They'll try to
Illinois is going
build
to be horrible next year. What are you
a, they're going to
talking
be
about?
horrible. They're going to be
But
horrible
like
on
now,
paper,
yeah.
but they're going to find a way to be good.
Wait, did Michigan, no, who won the Big Ten tournament? Did Illinois win the Big Ten tournament?
I think Illinois won the big. No, I think Michigan won the Big Ten tournament.
Did they? I don't know. I don't
Oh
know.
no, but it doesn't matter. The thing is, it's going to depend on what happens. If Mike Woodson finds any success at IU, it's going to be Michigan and IU they build up.
Oh, absolutely. Like if we're
It's all
undefeated.
going to depend on what happens with these new programs.
Dude, we could be good next year. I'm telling you.
We could be, but it's all going to depend on how Woodson coaches. Mata and Woodson have done their job in recruiting. Now let's see what they can do on the court.
Yeah, because suddenly we got a ton of like actually kind of decent people, so I guess we'll see.
I agree. All
Don't know.
right. Should we talk a little NBA real quick?
Sure, let's go for it.
So before we talk about the playoff here, I got to talk about this. I have a source in the NBA right now who's telling me some big details. And the
Okay.
big detail is the Celtics are the dumbest fucking people on the planet.
Wow, okay.
They are so fucking stupid for what they're doing that it drives me insane.
Oh,
Why becoming the president of basketball operations? That makes no sense. And now he's probably going to end up trading Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart because they both suck and they want to get rid of them. Actually, Marcus Smart doesn't suck, but they don't want him on the team anymore. And
okay. So,
it's really annoying.
I mean, are you a Celtics fan?
I am, and we're going to hire Jason Kidd as our coach, and I might do a dive off my balcony when we do.
Wow, okay, aggressive. I guess the first thing I have to say about that is, I guess, what do we think about Brad Stevens and IU? Like, why didn't he go to IU? Because I guess he knew he was probably done at
He
the end of this year.
never got the IU. First of all, he was never getting an offer from IU.
I thought
You,
he did.
there's
I thought they offered him the world.
no. Because there's the so the thing about Brad Stevens is he doesn't like contracts and things getting leaked. That's why no one knew about this PBO shit until the day Danny Ainge said to the media, "I'm leaving the organization." Stevens doesn't like things being leaked. His wife either still is his agent or was his agent at a time, so she sure as hell isn't leaking stuff. If anything is leaked about the negotiations, you know it's not true. Because they don't leak the negotiations. It happened with him becoming the Celtics head coach. He almost backed out of the deal because he got leaked and they were getting pressure from people. The
Damn.
Stevens family does not like to leak things. So the fact that there were these rumored contracts and that Stevens got offered this out there made me know right away it was fake.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
The Stevens family tries very, very hard to not have things leaked. I need to fact check if his wife still is agent, actually.
Yeah.
I know she was or had a part in his negotiation with the Celtics.
I'm sure she had a decent amount. But like, what does he add as the Celtics president of basketball operations?
I don't know.
I
I
mean,
have no
like
idea.
what expertise does he have? He's never had a role like that. He's been a head coach, another head coach, and like an assistant coach. Like that's it. Like he's done nothing to prove that he deserves that. This is like his first front office job, and he's suddenly like the big guy.
It makes no sense.
Like there is no reason for him to be president of basketball operations. I mean, whoever the owner is should have had a fair hand in that, and I guess maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but that's still just, I don't know. It's
So, I can't figure out who his actual agent is off the internet, but I did find an article talking about how his wife is the one who negotiated his Celtics contract. So that's probably enough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, just moving off from that point, like they're out of the playoffs now. Like he obviously didn't do a great job.
But here's the thing is, he has an above 500 record. He's made the playoffs 8 times. He's made 3 conference championships. It's not like he's a bad coach. He just didn't win a finals. I don't
No, he's
understand this
absolutely.
move to make him to the PBO so we can get so he can do something in there. I don't know what he's going to do in there that he that's better than him as a coach. And then what, you're going to hire Jason Kidd? Come on.
Dude, I for me it just makes no sense. I mean the Celtics have been in shambles for years, and like they're acting like this Hail Mary move is going to go change everything when they honestly might be worse next year.
I don't know what's going to happen next year, but the interesting thing is the other name they've talked about a lot is, which I think is an interesting hire, but it's going to be a hot take, what I'm going to say. So then big name is Becky Hammon is being batted around a lot, apparently. Now, that's a great hire.
Who?
Becky Hammon is a female assistant for the Spurs. She's been assistant for the Spurs for a while, like 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
It would be an interesting hire. I don't necessarily think it's a bad hire. I think the problem is when you're hiring someone in Boston, you need to make sure they are a psychopath because they're gonna get shit on 24/7, and I don't think she's crazy enough.
I don't know very much about her. I knew that the Spurs had a female head coach. I do not
Assistant
actually
coach,
know
not head coach.
assistant coach, my bad. But like, I don't know. I feel like that'd be a very interesting hire. I
I
don't.
don't know a lot about her either, which is why I'm not saying like my opinion on one way or other. Other than the fact I do have seen enough about her on SportsCenter and ESPN to know that she is not insane, which means she wouldn't be the best head coach for the Boston media because you literally need to be an insane person.
Oh my gosh, like Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
Bill Belichick's a suck
Bill
psychopath.
Belichick is an ass. Bill Belichick is a great coach. He's also an asshole.
And that's kind of all you need. Like you just have you I feel like in Boston, I feel like you're gonna get judged all the time. Like I don't know who the Bruins coach is, but also I don't think that Brad Stevens is an asshole. Like is that why he didn't do that well?
No, Brad Stevens is not an asshole, but he's too intellectual for a city of Boston to shit on because he would just talk down to them.
Oh my God.
He just make them feel stupid because he's just so much smarter than everyone.
The funniest thing about Brad Stevens is that so like my freshman year of college, I went to DePaul University and he graduated from there. And it was like the biggest deal. Like you could hear him all around. He was in like the same program as all of us. And oh my God. It was so funny. Like all you heard was Brad Stevens, Brad Stevens, Brad Stevens. And oh my God. Like I basically whenever I like the moment that I moved to Indiana, I have not gone a day or two without hearing about Brad Stevens. Like he is probably the most like famous or like one of the most famous Indiana people like of all time. I mean,
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
like I'm not wrong because I'm trying to think who could be more famous. Like I think Brad Stevens is more famous than Andrew Luck. I think Brad Stevens is more famous than Jim Irsay or maybe like I think he's probably on the same level as Larry Bird.
No,
A
Larry
little bit lower.
Legend.
A little bit
Larry
lower.
Legend will always be more famous than Brad. Come on. It's Larry
Okay.
fucking Legend,
Yeah,
man.
I get that. Or like I think he might be on the same level Indiana-wise as Reggie Miller. I think that's an apt comparison. Reggie
That's
Miller?
not a bad take.
I think he's like the same level. So like everybody knows who Reggie Miller is. Like everybody knows who Brad Stevens is.
Can't believe you do my man Larry Legend like that.
Larry Legend. I was gonna say Michael Jackson, but I'm like Michael Jackson's probably the most famous person to come from Indiana.
Yeah, probably. I
Is
mean,
it? Or
all
I
right,
guess.
Let's move on to the playoffs a little bit. We spent enough time ranting about Brad Stevens.
Fucking Brad Stevens. What a guy.
All right.
Dude,
so, I mean,
he literally looks like every Indiana guy ever.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Okay, but anyway, basketball.
So, I mean, the playoffs are kind of boring. The Nets,
the playoffs aren't boring.
They've been pretty boring so far.
I feel like
we've
there's
had
no,
four
like...
series finish, and they've all been 4-1 with just real domination. The only series that's interesting, the only series that's even slightly interesting, is the Clippers and the Mavericks, because we all know LeBron is just being a baby, not trying.
Are you an idiot today?
Come on, are you telling me that the Suns game, the Suns Lakers series, has been interesting? LeBron isn't even trying. LeBron quit in the last game. That's not interesting.
That has been the most interesting series of the entire playoffs.
No, that is the worst take I've ever heard in my life.
No, dude, you're being an idiot today.
No, the Clippers Mavericks has been much, much, much better. That's not even because those players actually play the games and don't quit like LeBron.
The Suns are playing their heart out every single minute.
Yeah, and both the Clippers and the Mavericks are. LeBron and the Lakers, dude, we could have played 2-on-5 against the Suns on Tuesday, and it would have been a better game than the Lakers put up. Let's be honest here. You
Bro,
can talk about the
on?
First four.
Did you
watch any of game five? LeBron stopped playing in the second quarter.
I actually fell asleep at 9:30.
Yeah. You can talk about the first four games being interesting all you want. I will never respect LeBron or the Lakers again or give them any credit after game five. They didn't try. They didn't care. LeBron stopped playing. Wouldn't play a minute in the fourth quarter because he's a baby and they were losing.
It looks like they're like – so I think that that's the most interesting series because it is LeBron and it is CP3 and Devin Booker and AD and Andre Drummond. And I think it's the most interesting series because I think there's the most to gain or lose. And it's because the Suns have – for like the first time in 11 years, they finally made the playoffs and they're the 2 seed and then they're going to go win and they're going to do great things. But no, they get their arch rival, the Los Angeles Lakers. And
yeah, but you're forgetting though that the Lakers and Lakers fans just haven't cared about the Suns in like a decade.
Well, no, but like, okay, the Lakers arch rival is the Suns. Like that is a true fact.
No, that's not a true fact. It's the Celtics.
It's not the Clippers. It's not.
It's the Celtics.
In the conference, like it's like Michigan is the arch rival of Ohio State. But like now recently, it's been like Clemson is the arch rival of Ohio State. But these historic rivals, like they've hated each other for years, and the Suns have something to prove, and LeBron doesn't want to lose. And there's been so much attention on it.
LeBron doesn't want to lose. Dude, LeBron, you can't say that anymore. LeBron didn't try last game.
LeBron was down 60.
LeBron wouldn't – dude, LeBron can't see his competitor if he quits. He's a quitter. He stopped playing because they were losing. They put up 10 points in the second quarter because no one could play, and then LeBron decided to quit. Let's be real here.
Well, maybe the Suns are just that good.
Yeah, the Suns can be that good, but LeBron still quit.
Okay, well, I think let's agree on something. The West Coast playoffs, the Western Conference playoffs, is 1,000 times better than the Eastern Conference.
Well, yeah, because the best series of the playoffs, the whole playoffs in the West, and it's the Clippers and the Mavericks. You can't tell me that Luka being in a Luka and Tim Hardaway fucking Jr., who came out of nowhere, being in a shootout and beating Kawhi and Paul George. Is it an awesome?
Okay. There has not been other, I guess, three of the four series in the Western Conference are like a very good series.
Yeah, but once you're here, does anyone actually give a fuck about the Blazers and the Nuggets? Not really.
It kind of seems like a competition for second place. Like, both those teams are going to lose to the Suns in the next round.
Again. I can't believe you keep passing over the best series in the playoffs, and it's pissing me off. You're only acknowledging the fact.
A home team hasn't won a game yet.
Because these teams are that good.
And there have been blowouts like every single game, except for like the last game. Like most of the games, it's been like not even close.
These are shootouts, though. It's not. Dude, come on.
Well, the reason why. I guess so. Like, I'll make this
Okay,
point.
the only blowout is game four. It was 10 points, which five of which were free throws in the last 10 seconds. 6 point, 10, or was it? Yes, 10, 6, 10, and then, yeah, then a blowout.
Dude, the reason why the Suns and Lakers is a better series than anything
is because
else.
You're a Suns fan.
Well, yes, I'm a massive Suns fan, but that's not the point. The point is that those games are so low scoring and defense is being played. And then in these, they're average in the other two, in the Clippers and the Mavericks and the Nuggets and the Trailblazers. Both of those series are averaging like 150 points a game. And I don't find that fun to watch. I like college basketball more than NBA basketball because there's defense and because they're actually giving a fuck.
Here's why
The
it's
Suns, the
better.
Lakers are giving a fuck because no team scoring over 100 points,
Again,
which is
you can't.
In today's NBA, that is unheard of. That is
You lost
actually
my
unheard of.
You lost my respect when you said they're playing their hearts and not quitting. LeBron, that's just wrong. LeBron literally quit the last game. The Mavericks lost by 25 and didn't quit. They kept playing.
You're assuming that okay, so like the story was that LeBron had to start his treatment or whatever, right?
That's been the story of LeBron for years every time they lose. People need to stop believing that bullshit.
And then he comes out the next game and kicks ass.
Yeah, because he's because he uses fake injuries to sit out games. Come on. LeBron's never as hurt as he says. He's been doing the same bullshit for years to sit out in the regular season. Do you actually buy this shit?
I mean, you can say all you want, but we put him in the GOAT conversation for a reason because he is one of the best players in the world. And
yeah, he's also one of the biggest babies in the world. Like, let's be real here.
I mean, so is Russell Westbrook. And
I mean, we're not talking Russell Westbrook because the Wizards are so uninteresting they don't deserve to be mentioned.
The issue that you have here is that you're assuming A, that he wasn't doing treatment. And B, that
he was
that,
sitting
that they're
on.
Okay, so you're actually like, so the Lakers started out that game in the lead, and maybe they just like played bad. Do you think that means that because they played bad, they didn't try?
LeBron sat out the entire fourth quarter
because
just sat on the bench.
Because they're down 30.
Yeah, LeBron has always said he's a competitor who never quits. He quit.
Again, he can be absolutely resting himself because the thing is the probability that you're gonna win when you're down 30 with 12 minutes left in the game is like zero. So they're like again. Like,
I don't care if I'm not 50 minutes left. I'm not quitting.
He's also like 36, like 38. Is he 38? No, he's like 36. He's 36, right? I think he's 36.
Here's the news. He could get the benefit of the doubt if this wasn't something he does every single year. Every year he magically has an injury and has to sit out when they're losing. It's only when they're losing. When they were winning, Daniel, the night before, and every other game, another game is a series, he was healthy. It's only when they're losing is he hurt. That's why I will never respect him.
I guess we'll have to agree to disagree. But okay,
how can
so
you
let's...
respect that? How can you respect that? Every time he loses, it's, oh, I'm injured. It's not because someone else played good. It's because I had an injury.
He's 36. I mean, you're
but again, where was this injury game two when they won, game three when they won, game four when they were losing by only a couple points? Where was this injury then?
Okay,
why did it magically pop up when he had a bad game?
What about like Roger Federer? Like, so whenever he's hurt, he's out for a few months whenever he loses, right? Do we say that he doesn't try because he wins most of the time and then when he loses, he can be
Federer
hurt?
Doesn't pull out of a tournament when he's down two sets. Because he just wants to rest. Federer doesn't do that. It's different.
I mean, it's also, I feel like you'd be coded.
And Federer also doesn't sit out 6 months of every 60% of every season because he wants to rest up for Wimbledon.
He has.
Not every year. Not every year.
He's played like
year.
Four tournaments the past 3 years, and he's still like kicking ass.
Federer's had fucking back surgeries. LeBron isn't having surgeries. LeBron is just sitting out.
You know what? We can agree to disagree, but you know what? Let's take a commercial break. Let's take an advertisement break so we can cool down, you know, relax a little bit, and we can come back and start agreeing on something today.
I would never agree with a LeBron defender. He's an asshole.
All right, guys. We're going to take a few have fun listening to the ad.
name? This man is a bitch and does not deserve half the respect he gets from fans.
All right, so apparently, because nobody else can see this, and we're just hanging out having a great time. Welcome back to the second part of the Drop a Deuce podcast today. So now it is, as I'm looking at my phone, in which we are recording this, there are two people on the call. There is number one, me, Daniel Keenis, and number two, fuck LeBron.
I think LeBron is the greatest one. He does a lot for the community. He is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. I will not respect him because I think he uses fake injuries to sit out for a lot so he can play in the playoffs and magically gets hurt every time he loses. I just don't respect that.
All right. Well, do I just call you fuck
is
today?
Do I just
call you fuck the rest of the podcast?
Is he a top three player of all time? Yes. Am I only bumping him to number three because I'm really pissed off at LeBron right now? Yes.
Okay. Frank, buddy, I think we need to take a few seconds to compose ourselves.
Never.
We have to take a few seconds to compose ourselves.
Ask me who's the number two greatest player of all time, man, behind Michael Jordan.
Larry Bird.
No, it's even better.
Kobe Bryant.
Even better.
Steve Nash.
No, the White Mamba, Brian Scalabrine.
Oh, okay. So Frank, you are making no sense. So I think let's take a deep breath. Breathe in.
How am I not making any? Okay, besides some more joke about
breathe
Brian
in.
Scalabrine.
Breathe
no, no.
in.
Daniel, I'm calm. I'm calm.
Okay.
Besides my joke, I'm gonna ask you a question. Besides my joke about Brian Scalabrine, which is obviously a joke. Daniel, I'm calm. I want to ask you a question.
Okay, what's up?
Besides for the Brian Scalabrine joke, which obviously I was joking, how have I not been making sense? I've been using the logic that LeBron likes to sit out a lot, which I don't see as a competitor.
No, I felt like you were making sense. Wow, this is really just like healthy talk. We're talking about our problems. I'm proud of us.
No, it's an honest question.
I appreciate that. But like, think about like this holistically. This is like a healthy friendship, because we were angry at each other and we lost respect for each other. But we're stronger.
I never actually lost respect for you. I fucked with you.
I know. But look, it's positive, right? It's positive reinforcement, and we are growing a healthy podcast relationship. And that's really all you can ask for in these day and age of times.
All right. What's...
Okay, so we can come together and we can support each other. And I think that's something I really appreciate about
you. You're making me hate LeBron more with all this bullshit.
Okay, so other than that, let's talk about the French Open.
Sure. Let's talk about the French
sure.
Open.
You're just like, fuck this. Like,
I want to keep raising about how much I hate LeBron.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so the French Open's been going on. So it's been going on since Sunday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then tomorrow going to be Friday. Wow, the whole week right there. Thank you. What is your biggest takeaway from these past like 6-5 days?
Well, the first one is that the American men are fucking choke artists.
They are. They are choke artists.
Mackie Bluey, 2-set to Nunley and Christian Garn. Tommy Paul won the first against Medvedev and got his ass kicked. Stevie Johnson tried to choke it. I mean, this is just
normally Stevie. Okay, so have I talked about my hatred/passion for Steve Johnson on this podcast before?
No, but he's going to somehow win another. He's somehow going to be PCB tomorrow, isn't he?
Oh, okay. So basically, yes, he will, because Steve Johnson, or he's going to lose like 2-2-2. So basically, for the past, I would say like 8 years or something, I have loved Steve Johnson, and for the only reason that he went to USC and both of my sisters, whom I love very much, I know Kelly or Catherine will probably be listening to this, hello,
fuck USC.
USC is a cool school, dude. USC is actually a cool school, like,
fuck,
I remember
USC.
Dude, I
all right, no sidetrack.
Anyway, okay, sorry. so So anyway, I love Steve Johnson, but one thing I know about Steve Johnson, and it pisses me off, is that he refuses to adapt. So he's had this one-handed backhand slice for like 8 years, and he does nothing else, and he acts like it's not going to affect anything. And he does nothing except have like a kind of good serve, a kind of good forehand, but literally nothing else to his game. And it pisses me off because he could be like a top 20, top 15 player if he was actually like good. But he's such like has such highs and such lows. Like he's gotten to the fourth round of so many tournaments. He's gotten to some finals and he's past his prime, but like whatever. But every time he loses, because he can be so good, but he is so bad at the same time. He reminds me a lot of Sam Querrey. Like again, like another American where like most Americans could be really good if they actually like gave a fuck and they like weren't only like power hitters. Like we have no other than like Mackie McDonald, the United States like men's tennis has no like grinders. Like we have like very few grinders who will actually like go through the points and like actually develop them. Like I feel like some of the young guys, so, like maybe like Korda or no, but like
No, sorry. I got on a very big side tangent here that I'll get in a minute, which is why I was reacting.
Anyway, so Steve Johnson, like all these Americans, like they don't win big matches. Like, and the last time an American has like actually won against a big player has been so long. Anyway, but yeah, that's kind of my Steve Johnson rant. He's okay, really good, but really bad.
So the side tangent I got on, when we were talking about Steve Johnson, it made me think of Jack Sock.
So, oh my god, what a throwback.
I went to Google Jack Sock. Apparently he's still playing professional tennis. He's playing in a challenger right now. You want to hear a couple of the other names in this challenger? Talking about throwback?
Oh shit, it's going to be like Andy Murray.
No, it's Americans.
Oh, let me think. Is it old or young?
Older. Like, kind of, like, older for pros. Like, you know the names.
Oh shit. I think I know one of them. The guy from Milwaukee. It's Tim Smiechek.
No, I'm just gonna tell you. It's Donald Young.
Wow.
And the Harrison brothers.
Ryan and
Christian.
Wow.
What a throwback. I mean, you have some like actual pros that could like probably just miss qualifying, like Jason Jung and Nicholas Jarry.
Wow, dude, this challenger is stacked.
It is hilarious. Okay, but back to the French. The other takeaway I want to say is, I mean, I called it. Musetti is the real deal.
Dude, the French, like, I feel like there's
been a lot of upsets. His first round is pretty easy.
Well, no, he hasn't lost a set, has he? I don't think so.
No, I think did he lose one today? I think he might have lost one today. No, he didn't.
He went straight. Did he lose one to Goffin?
No, he killed Goffin. And I mean, big story though was in the first round, Goffin lost the set 6-0, and it still wasn't the big story in the first round because Dominic Thiem went down.
To like Pablo Andujar, who again, like, I think Pablo Andujar, like, in the next round, I think he choked.
I'm pretty sure he did.
He did. I don't know. I'm trying to find him. He definitely choked. He was. Dominic Thiem was also up 2-0. So, like, that was an absolute choke, too. I'm just how do you do that? Like, how the fucking, but whatever his name is, Pablo Andujar is, like, 38. Like, he's an old guy. He lost to Delbonis. So, yeah, Andujar was up 2-1 against Delbonis and then lost the fourth and fifth 3-2. Like, Jesus Christ.
John, and then the other guys, so the two big point getters are going to be Musetti and then probably Schroef. Schroef's about to make the round of 16.
I'm trying to think.
He took out Rublev in the first round.
Wow.
He's going to make the round of 16, and I don't think Schroef's been a big, successful guy in the majors.
Russians, I think Schroef's done stuff. Well, Dude, I don't know, Alcaraz or whatever the fuck his name is. Also, we're acting like Struff's not going to get to the quarters. He can maybe get to the round of 16.
That's what I said. He's going to get to the round of 16.
Yeah, because Diego Schwartzman has basically had the easiest tournament of all time. He's playing 150 in the world Philip Kohlschreiber in the third round. Like, he's going to be perfectly fine.
Kolschauer's putting good right now. I expect him to get a set.
Get a set. I mean, beating Karatsev in four was pretty impressive. I mean, yeah, he's beaten Verdasco, Karatsev, and then he's gonna he's had. Remember when he was good?
Kolschauer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good for a while.
Also, speaking of who people who are playing well, Kei Nishikori, sheesh.
He's gonna win again tomorrow.
No, he's probably gonna win again in five, and then he's obviously gonna win in five against Zverev.
I'm trying to figure out.
Then who does he play after? Like that's like the quarterfinals. He might play. Let's see, who would Nishikori play? So you and you. He would play. Oh, and then he would play Casper Ruud. Kei Nishikori could get to the semifinals.
Really?
No, because if he could beat Laxinen, and then Alexander Zverev can lose at any point ever.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
And then he plays the person to get out of Casper Ruud and Davidovich Fokina and Fognini and Delbonis. Like, Kei Nishikori could get to the semifinals.
So I'm looking at Struff's points right now. He lost in the second round of Paris last year, so he's picking up a lot of points. Other than that, though, he's only made the round of his best was the round of 16 at Roland Garros in 2019. Other than that, he's not been a big successful guy. He's lost a lot of second rounds.
He's also like he's a really bad big hitter. Like he's got a huge serve, and like that's how he does all this stuff, but. I feel like he's really 42 in the world. Dude, he is – how tall is he? This guy
– I'm looking at his bio, I'm looking at his ATP page right now. He's 31, 6'4".
Okay, his professional record is 151 to 178.
Yeah, he's not been that great. He's been on a good run for – he's been on a good run for the last 2 years, and he's going to continue it.
He's from Warsteen.
He and Karatsev probably took steroids together.
Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, dude, Karatsev, I don't know where the hell he came from. He was like 150 in the world doing horrible. And then, boom.
He got the steroids from the Russian Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they didn't want to dope, so this gave it all the time.
First of all, I do think Struff can beat Schwartzman, by the way. Schwartzman is very beatable.
No, but, like, the main thing about playing Diego Schwartzman is you gotta hold. And if you hold, then you're probably gonna win. Like, cause he has a nothing serve. You just have to win all the baseline rallies, and against somebody like that who just like doesn't miss and doesn't make zero unforced errors, for a guy like that to win against Diego Schwartzman.
Can I ask a question? Did I just realize this? Where the fuck is Shapovalov? Why didn't he play?
Shapovalov. He played Geneva in Italian Open. Nick Kyrgios, Simona Halep, Denis Shapovalov, and others missing French Open of 2021. French Open has a stacked draw.
They withdrew. Shapovalov withdrew.
I mean, he might have just not wanted to go or even hurt. Andy Murray, Simona Halep.
So Papasson and Kyrgios withdrew to focus on the grass season.
Denis Shapovalov had a right shoulder injury.
Interesting. So I'm reading an article. So you had some name I'm never going to pronounce right. Attila Belaz is with a knee injury. Edmund with a knee. Kyle Edmund has a knee injury. Papasson and Kyrgios withdrew to focus on grass court because they know they suck. Cork is recovering from a shoulder surgery. And then Amy Murray, who just decided to withdraw from qualifying.
Oh, Andy. Oh,
Andy, retire. Retire. I mean,
dude, we haven't talked about Andy Murray like at all.
Because he sucks. But hey, I want to focus on the French Open more. We can talk about Andy Murray another time when he gets a wild card in Wimbledon and loses first round.
Oh, yeah. On center court.
Honestly, the bottom half of this draw is looking really weak. And somehow Medvedev is still not going to win it.
No, like the bottom half of the draw is there's literally nobody in there. So
Medvedev is going to lose to Opelka tomorrow. He's definitely it's going to happen. Like it's just meant
wait,
to
they
be.
Play tomorrow.
I'm pretty sure the match is tomorrow,
dude. Yeah, wait,
it's tomorrow.
Wait, who would he lose to?
I said he's going to lose to Opelka's going to beat Medvedev tomorrow.
I thought it was Opelka and Tsitsipas.
No, it's Isner and Tsitsipas.
Oh, okay.
It's Isner. So the bottom half of the draw is
they're literally the same person too. Yeah. They're actually like they're like the exact same person.
No, Isner. I think Isner's like 2 inches taller.
Oh, but yeah. Other than that,
yeah. So the bottom half of the draw, let's read the rest of the draw. You got Djokovic, Berrankens, Chechenino versus the GOAT, who's going to win the tournament, Musetti. Berrettini versus Sonu Kwon, Kupa for Federer, Nadal and Nori, Sinner Yemmer, Schwartzman, Kohlschreiber, Akira Shroff, Zverev, Dejiri, Nishikori, Lalakasonin, who should have lost first round.
Henry Laxonen.
Rude versus Davide Fokina, Fognini versus Delbonis, Tsitsipas, Isner, Stevie Johnson, the GOAT, Pellegrino Busto, Marcos, Giron, my homie, versus Christian Garin, and then Opelka Medvedev. That's the draw.
Oh my god. Oh wow. What a. This is going to be so interesting.
I mean, I can't wait for the quarterfinals.
It's going to be a snooze fest until like next Thursday or Friday.
No, it's going to be a snooze fest for a while till we get Nadal versus Federer in the semis, because Musetti is going to beat him in the round of 16. if he beats Chechenito in the round of 16, this kid is not losing for a while. This kid is really, really good.
Dude, one of the things I wish you could just do properly was like pronounce tennis players' names correctly.
Yeah, I can't at all. I'm sorry.
Chechenito?
Is it like Chechenito?
It's Chechenato. It's an Chechenato. A. Chet C E C C H I N A T O. Chechenato.
Hey, you know what? I can't speak. You know, I'll be honest here. I'm not good at those languages, but I can pronounce it the only one who matters, right? My boy Musetti.
Musetti.
And hey, oh yeah, I can pronounce a lot of these names, right? Like Opelka.
Okay, what is so who is John Leonard Struff playing? He is playing
what's his first name? I'll get the full name. Carlos Alcaraz?
Alcaraz. I thought you were gonna say Alcatraz for a second. I'm like, oh no. Carlos Alcatraz.
Alcaraz? Is that how you say
it? I think it's Alcaraz, yeah.
Okay. The obvious A is that's close enough. That one was come on.
I mean, okay, like it's the same thing with like Tsitsipas. It's TSI. TSI.
I know, but I like calling him Tsitsipas. I just have more fun calling him
Titty Pass.
I just have more fun. I know him. Here's the thing is that one I purposely say right. I could say Tsitsipas, but I like saying Tsitsipas.
Titsy
I like saying it is wrong. It's more fun that way.
So, like, I think with like a lot of these things, like growing up in America, I feel like we just butcher so much. Like,
oh yeah, well, definitely that. But I've heard his name pronounced enough, right? I could do it. It's just my way of pronouncing it. I'm just used to it, and it just sounds funny to me.
Oh my gosh, Davidovich Faulkner.
And I'll be honest here, Zverev. I probably pronounced that wrong. There's too many Z's and there's too many. Z and V for me.
Zverev.
Fognini is an easy one. But I mean, come on, like here. Some of these names are just hard to pronounce.
Janik?
Okay, go to the first round. Look who your boy Chechenato played. Like, how do you say his name? It's Yasutaka?
Dude. Okay, Marco Chechenato looks like the like seventh grader who's trying way too hard at basketball.
I agree,
like,
but I'm trying to pronounce
he's got
names.
The headband, he's Daniel, got the fucking wristband. He looks
Daniel, like trying. We're doing name hard. Pronunciations here. I don't know how to say this one. Yatsutaka Uchiyama?
Uchiyama, yeah.
Uchiyama?
Alex Demina.
Demar is an easy one. Oh, I cannot do this one. This is a closer to American one. I cannot do it all. Felix Auger Aliassime.
It's Felix Auger Aliassime.
I've never been able to say his right. It's French.
O-O-O-Ger. Auger Okay, try to pronounce it with
I
me.
always just call them
Ozier.
FAA because I can never do it.
Yeah, he looks
Osher.
Ozier, like Ozier, like over, but Ozier.
Osher.
La
Wa.
seam.
Seam. You know
Ozier a
what?
la seam.
Osher a la seam.
See? We're learning
Let's see.
something. This is
There's
kind of
some.
cool.
This is gonna be. This is our new segment called Frank Pronounces Names. Basilashvili. I can do that one. Cole's
Bashanashvili.
Basilashvili.
I'm actually pretty good. I'm actually pretty good at pronunciation. Like I
Speaking
know
is not my strong suit, I'll be honest.
I will take that. No, like whether it's like French or Spanish, like those
All
two I can
right,
like normally
here.
pronounce pretty
You know
well.
what? Go try to pronounce the guy who played Herbert Hurcox in the first round's name. Van de Slup.
Okay, let's see. 'Cause I remember I had money on this match. here we go. his name is nope, that is the other guy. That is Alejandro David Faulkner. And then if we look at this guy, wow, he looks old. Let's see if I can pronounce this. Bocic van de Zandschlump. Van de Zandschlump?
Yeah,
Van
that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Van de Zandschlump.
All right, now
Zed.
we're gonna show some love to the women's draws and have me try to pronounce some of these names because it ain't
Dude,
gonna get much better.
okay, I'm actually kind of in. I'm actually doing pretty well. I'm proud of myself right
Let's see.
now.
We found a good one for me in the women's draws. I mean, like Sakari, that's an easy one.
Sakar is an easy one.
Oh my
What?
God. Let's see. Okay. These are the two on the women's draw. It's on Martic and Gorgie's section in their lower quarter. It's the one above them. First we have Varvara Gracheva. And then she
I'm trying to
beat
see.
Laura. Oh my God, that is a lot of vowels. Laura Aruba Ar Arubarina Vecino. Can someone teach me to pronounce that one?
Okay, so what's her name? It is
Laura,
Laura
it's Laura R.
Arua
I'm gonna be honest here.
Barrena.
I'm
Laura Arua Barrena.
listen, listeners. I promise you, I'm trying my best here. This is a tough one.
Laura Aruba Arua Barrena,
Vecino. Listen, I want to
Var
get better pronouncing
Vavara
these.
Gr Vavara Gacheva?
I
Yeah,
want to actually get
Vavara
better.
Gacheva.
Like, I wish this was a bit. Because it would be less embarrassing. Like, I'm trying my
No, like
best to pronounce
we're
these.
actually
It's
like trying
tough.
our hardest. I'm proud of my diction. Like that's something I'm
Oh, mine sucks. I don't know, but I should be better at it. Let's see.
I'm not sure how my Chinese
You
diction
know,
is.
there's not as many the woman some of the women have a lot easier last names to pronounce than the men. Like the men I could pick at like 15 or 20 on the draw and be like, yeah, I could never pronounce these right. The woman,
Martin
it's a little harder for
Kova.
me to find some last names I can't pronounce.
Like, who did Sakari play? She played Zavatska. Zavatska. Ooh,
Where's she
that
open?
is.
Who else is in her section so I can find them quicker?
Katarina Zavatska. Wow,
Found
she's
them.
129. And
Yeah.
then,
Zvatska didn't look that hard to pronounce.
dude, Sakari's cute. Like, I'm not gonna lie, Sakari is very cute.
Ooh, what's this name? Nah, that's actually an easy name to pronounce.
Let's see. Oh, I love
Here's the question. What the
Cerebus
hell is a
Polo.
PR on the draw? Like, I know LL's lucky loser, WC wild card, Q qualifier. What's
P.
this? PR. Like, go to look at Serena Williams. You got Serena Williams versus Begu. You got Russ versus Buzernescu, and
Wait,
Buzernescu has
okay.
a PR next to her name on the app I'm using.
PR stands for player. It's like they got like an exemption or something. It's like getting the
Oh,
title.
protected ranking.
Yeah.
Protected ranking, that's it. Because that's how Mackie got into the Australian Open, I think.
Okay, also, so control F your screen right now. Control F your laptop.
I'm on an app. I can't control F.
Okay, so I have one I want you to try to pronounce.
Just give me a part of the draw and tell me who she's playing.
Right underneath Kerber.
Who else is in that section? So, and like, where on the draw?
Oh,
I
it's
found
at the lower
Kerber.
part.
I found
So it's
Kerber.
right under Kerber.
Reba Keena's opponent.
And then I want you to pronounce the French girl.
Yeah, so you have Reba Keena versus the French girl.
Yeah, pronounce
Okay.
the French girl's name.
Elsa, the first name is easy. First, wow, 492. That is a low. That's a low ranking. Hopefully, she can move up so she can get into more tournaments outside the country of France. And her
Hopefully
last name is
G2.
Chekmot. Chekmot. Chekmot.
It's Jacques
Chekmout.
Mo.
Jacquemot.
Jacques Mo.
Chekmot.
Jacques Mo.
Chekmot. You don't pronounce the
Jacques.
T. Chekmot.
No. So in France, you don't. In French, you don't pronounce the T. So it's,
I never learned. I took Spanish in high school, not
so
French. So,
it's her name is like Elsa Jacquemot.
also Jacquemot, Jacquemot,
Jacquemot. Jacquemot.
Jacquemot, Jacquemot. Is that right, Jacquemot?
It's like I guess so. It's like a softer J. So it's
Jacquemot.
Jacques
See,
Mo.
I wish I
Jacques.
took French. I wish I took French in high school.
I took it
So,
for a year.
I grew up in Southern California, and I went to a small school. So maybe we had the options between Spanish and French. And growing up in Southern California, I was like, Spanish will probably help me out more, so I'll take Spanish.
No, Spanish is definitely helps you out more. Absolutely.
It's
I
different because
felt.
there's like different dialects and different ones. Like because the one we focused on was more for like the Mexico. And I know it's not a big difference, but I know like Spain does things a little
Oh,
differently.
absolutely.
It's like my understanding of it as an American, which isn't great. It's like us versus British English. There's not a lot of differences, but there's just enough for it to make a difference.
I mean, yeah, I feel like at least they're all being like kind of introduced to it. So that's like the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Barbora
Well,
Krajicama. Oh, okay. I think we're probably done with today's episode.
yeah, this is a fun segment we're gonna do those. We're gonna have it called Pronouncing Names in Sports, where we're gonna find names in sports and help me get better pronouncing them.
And I will see if I can. I think I went. My record was pretty good today. I don't think I messed up anything.
I'm gonna Google here. Wait, before you do this, there's one meme I want you to pronounce. See how well you pronounce it. It's a former MLB player. His name is Jared Saltamacchia. Just Google it so you can see the spelling of it is Saltamacchia.
Wow, what a that's a lot of that's a lot
It
of
barely fit on
consonants.
it barely fit on it barely fit on the back of his jersey.
Jared Saltamacchia.
I never knew how to pronounce this, and it killed me when he was on the Red Sox. Because I was like, Jesus, how did
Salt.
they say this?
Is it Saltamacchia or is it
So I think it's
Saltamacchia?
Macchia. I think it's Saltamacchia.
My.
Yeah, but those are the kind of
I
names
don't
we're
think a
going to.
CC together is an S. Is
Macchia.
there soccer, Soccer, soccer. So it's Saltamaki, yeah, cookie,
Yeah, we're going to try to pronounce names like that
Kachia.
from now on. All right, guys, thanks for listening to this just absolutely train wreck of an episode with us pronouncing names and me ranting about my hatred of LeBron, which I still hate him, by the way.
That just happens though. That's for like the four people that are listening, then
Hey,
like that's on you.
five.
Five. That is maybe six. We'll see. All right, but thank you guys for listening. Sorry for ranting. Hope you have a good day. See you guys next week.
See you guys.
Bye bye.